Welcome to the Emmanuel Network podcast. We're so glad that you joined us today. I'm here with a dear friend and partner, Nathan. Welcome, Nathan.
Hello. Thank you for having me today. It's an honor.
So Nathan is a friend of mine that has spent a lot of time in Asia. And yeah, we're just really glad for you to sit with us and to hear and glean from some of the things that the Lord has taught him through the years. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background, Nathan?
Absolutely. Again, thanks for having me. I'm Nathan. My wife, Abigail, and I have four children. We're born and raised here in Louisville, Kentucky. Been a member at Emmanuel for about 13 years. And for 10 of those years, we've been serving in a large country in East Asia. And for the next year, we're here in Louisville on our furlough stateside. And Lord willing, next year we'll be heading back to Asia and serving as team leader of a mega city there in East Asia.
That's awesome. So I don't know that I introduced myself yet. I'm Andy, the director of the Emmanuel Network. And so, Nathan, you're a partner of the network?
Absolutely, 100%.
That's awesome. And, part of the reason we're doing these podcasts is just so that people can get to know some of the partners of the network and to learn from each other. Amen. And we have partners that are all over North America and the world. And, yeah, just simply following the pattern of the Scripture, we want to see this gospel go forward.
Amen.
And for all men and women to have a chance to repent and believe
Amen.
This gospel.
Praise God.
That we have. So today we're hoping to tackle the topic of co-laboring with national believers.
Amen.
So who is a national believer?
That's a really great question. I would say anyone in your local context who professes faith in Jesus, who believes that Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and raised for our salvation, and who is willing to work alongside of you for the advance of the gospel. Those people may be 100% where we are theologically and methodologically, or they may be somewhere on that scale, but they're a believer, they love the Lord, and they want the gospel to advance, and they're willing to work with you in that effort.
That's cool. So one thing that we have to keep in mind is that God is working ahead.
That's right. That's right.
And he has his people in many far-flung places.
Amen.
That the missionary data organizations can't even keep up with.
That's right. That's right. I love the fact that our sovereign God is doing things that we cannot see. I think that's one of the greatest things that he does to humble our pride. Is we may think that we're the first person to ever go into this context to declare the gospel, but it's very possible that the gospel has in some way gotten there before us. And so it's a wonderful reality. In some places, that's not true. There are places where the gospel has not yet been brought, and we have to do everything we can to bring the gospel there. But in many contexts, you will find national believers. Now, they may have a wacky understanding of baptism or the local church or many other things, but if we are able to partner with them in some small way, I have found the benefit of it. We have to be authentic to the Scriptures. We cannot change what the Bible says or change who we are confessionally, but even if it's just meeting with them for prayer to encourage, even in some situations, doing evangelism alongside each other. When you're doing the work of church planting, there needs to be more alignment theologically and methodologically. But as much as possible, partnering with nationals, local people, I see it biblically. See, that's one reason why we should think about that is obviously Paul was sharing the gospel, was making disciples of national believers, and in each place he went to share the gospel, he left behind local national believers who are leading the church. I think that has to be our desire as well.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that. The advance of the gospel is interwoven the advance of the church.
That's right.
And the church is tasked with advancing this gospel.
Amen. In a lot of places, people, missionaries will ignore the established churches because it is messy. If you go into a church that's been there for, 10, 15, 20 years, they're from a tradition that is holds to unbiblical views about baptism, women in leadership roles, church polity. Those are the common ones, or charismatic issues. They're exalting experience over the written word of God. Those are just the common ones that I've seen. A lot of people, the tendency is, I'm just going to ignore them because that's too messy, and I'll just go out and do evangelism and work with new believers. We should never forsake doing evangelism and raising up new believers and doing discipleship and leadership development. That is, that will be always what we do, starting new churches. But we cannot just ignore the established churches. What I would suggest and encourage people to do is meet them where they are, give them an example of biblical faithfulness, that your character, your kindness, your compassion, your love, your zeal for the lost, your zeal for the Lord. In my own experience in the city we've been serving in for the last 4 years, one of my best friends, I met him 4 years ago, and I'll call him Peter. That's not his name, of course. And when I first met Peter, they had just a very, very unhealthy understanding of the church, an unhealthy understanding of the pastorate, of their exalting experience in over the Bible. And we just started meeting and praying and reading the scriptures together. And over time, he would ask me these questions that are like really, really intense. And he would push back on certain things. But over time, he started to see maybe we shouldn't have women being pastors in our church. Maybe we should do baptism by immersion only. Maybe we should do expository preaching. Maybe we should have church membership. But this didn't happen overnight. This happened over a course of 3 years. And all along the same time, while we were doing this, while we were meeting with him, I was doing evangelism. We saw a church planted and local elders established. But by coming alongside of him, giving an example, it's now they're a wonderful, solid Baptistic church, and is one of my closest friends on this earth. He didn't do that because I told him to do it. Those changes were made because he saw them in the Bible, and that was his authority. And according to God's will and some circumstances that happened, we cannot go back to that city because of some security concerns. But they're still there. That church is still there, and it is a healthy, thriving church. And that's because we've made investments in local national believers. I know from your story that's very similar, that you all have seen when you are serving in Sumatra, that you saw churches that weren't healthy and saw them grow. So from your perspective, from your experience, what has been the benefit of that from your perspective?
Yeah, I'm so glad you just shared that story. People have to understand that the work of revitalization and the work of reform within churches is not something that is just defined to the U.S. context or North American context. There are congregations in many places all over the world, even in the middle of lost countries.
That's right.
And to move into those places and despise the work that the Lord has done in saving these individuals is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like to come in as a foreigner or a foreign team and think that there is little to nothing that you have to learn from local believers.
That's right.
That the Lord has chosen to save in his infinite wisdom. And, he Yeah. Spared not even his own son.
That's right.
That they would know him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is important to have that openness of mind to realize, mm-hmm. wow, where has the Lord already been at work?
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, there is a huge difference between our context here in North America mm-hmm. and an unreached people context. Mm-hmm. So in unreached people context, there's less than 2% of the people
mm-hmm.
walking around that know the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And that makes a drastic difference mm-hmm. in that context. I've, for our first few years overseas, I can remember saying, there are no believers in that county,
mm-hmm.
or there are no believers in that section of the state or province.
Mm-hmm.
And truly believing that in my mind, like yeah. I had infinite knowledge almost. Yeah. But as we went into those counties, and we mm-hmm. would occasionally go there, maybe once every couple months, we would go there
mm-hmm.
and share the gospel with people.
Yeah.
Just to try to get the gospel there.
Would you find believers when you were sharing?
We would. And so the Lord really rebuked me on that point, and I realized after a while that even in the middle of an entirely lost people
mm-hmm.
and society, where according to our research, there were no believers,
mm-hmm.
we would often find one
yeah.
or two, even weak believers
sure.
there. But that gave us a way to start.
Yeah.
And to your question about working with local churches, mm-hmm. I think where we have freedom to work with them,
mm-hmm.
that is something that we should do.
Yeah.
And by freedom, I mean alignment around the gospel,
that's right.
alignment around the Bible,
yeah.
not necessarily even governmental permission.
Sure.
Because many foreign governments would forbid foreigners
yeah.
working in a way that is seeking to build up a church.
Mm-hmm.
But as a believer, those same foreign governments will often give you the freedom to relate
yeah.
to those churches, even though they don't officially want you doing that.
Sure.
So I definitely enjoyed working with an existing church. One in particular, the Lord did a great work of revitalizing, and they serve a critical role now
mm-hmm.
in their province and even beyond their province.
Praise God.
To over 2 million people of doing trainings to help mm-hmm. believers know how to share their faith,
yeah.
encouraging other churches in the region
yeah.
to engage the lost society yeah. around them,
yeah.
and in church planting,
yeah.
as well as sending believers into unreached ethnicities that are there
yeah.
around them.
Yeah, I see sometimes people going from one extreme to the other. Either like, I will only work with existing churches, or like, I'm going to only work by sharing the gospel. And what I would encourage folks, and this is true for people church planting in America as well, is by being zealous for evangelism, and for discipleship, and for church formation, all those things, you have a platform to really speak into and encourage existing churches, because you have like a amount of street credibility, and I think it can be a both and. For me personally, if someone would say, I don't know about working with national believers, or what I would say is, we have to look at the big picture. We are not promised tomorrow. Our lives are short. Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to destroy sin and death, and he came to establish a church, his body on the earth, and he died for the church. And we have to care about the local church. And a lot of these places, the churches are unhealthy because people, missionaries, or in a lot of cases, bad theology coming out of America has influenced them, and they've never seen a picture of a healthy church. And taking all that garbage out takes a while, but we have to love the church, and the process of reform it takes a while, but it is a wonderful experience, even though it hurts. And it is parts of it are difficult. And that's just part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and as with any revitalization or reform, it doesn't happen in our timing.
That's right.
But the Lord is able to fast forward a work even beyond what we would think, often through crises.
Amen.
And trial.
Amen.
So, Nathan, could you tell us something that you have learned from one of your national friends?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we started a pastoral internship, very similar to what you all do here at Emmanuel. It's a shorter time frame, but I think you all do in the third year. Do they teach in the third year here? Is that when they teach and you give like critique and stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, we do that in ours, and we started through this one guy, Peter, I mentioned. We started this pastoral internship right now. It's still going on, and there's four guys in it, and he's helping lead this thing. And so I led it the first time, and he was in it. Peter was in it the first year we did it, and the second year he started helping me do it. And watching him understand the culture and the way that these guys would receive information, and even how he taught the Bible to them and how they were reacting to that, his critique of their sermon, was the meat of it was the same. I would have said the same things. He was saying them in a different way, and it was received on a much deeper level than I would have said it. Even though the message would have been the same, like, oh, you should do this when you're explaining this passage or that. And I was thinking, man, praise God, I've studied this language for 10 years. I know this culture in part, but because he's local, he's able to get at same truth, same biblical truth as far as teaching the Word of God. What is the meaning of this text? How do you apply this text? All those questions exactly the same. But because he's local and he knows them and he knows how that is being received, I was really, really challenged and encouraged to think, man, this is what we need to be doing. Because he's local, he's receiving it not as, oh, you're coming from the outside speaking in. It's like he's one of us. The missionary's desire should be to become one of them as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But we're all limited. But because this guy was teaching them in their language, being from there, and he's still there. He's going to be there until the Lord calls him home. It was received in a different way. I was really challenged by that and really instructed by that. And some of these guys, when they're teaching, like, it has been, I've learned so much from them teaching the Word of God, and seeing them grow has been one of the greatest joys of my life.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, some of the closest relationships and partnerships that I've had in ministry overseas have been with the local believers.
Amen.
And that is not to despise the relationships that I had with other expatriate colleagues.
Absolutely.
Those have been sweet as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, learning and walking alongside national believers has been invaluable.
Amen.
And I count those lessons learned as something that has really shaped me and the Lord used to shape me.
Praise God.
And in some ways, the Lord takes some of his people all the way overseas to teach them great lessons,
mm-hmm.
so that then they might use those lessons to continue on in the work overseas or even back in their home country.
Amen.
Some of us, I think, we're that stubborn,
mm-hmm.
that we actually have to go to a place where the Lord strips away every mm-hmm. possible crutch
yeah.
that we could lean
Amen.
On.
Amen. I think one of the great things is there's a mutual learning in ministry. I think if you look at Paul in Acts 20, where he obviously has invested in the Ephesian elders, but he loves them. I mean, he is weeping as he knows he's not going to see them again on this earth. He's like, I've given you the Word of God. I'm innocent of your blood. But at the same time, like, he loves them. He wants to go to Rome so they would be mutually encouraged in each other's faith. I mean, the entire 16th chapter of the book of Romans is just him saying, say hello, greet this person who I love, and all these different things. Like, there's a connection there. And I think more than anything, what that shows us is that ministry is relational. It has to be. It's not simply a transfer of knowledge one way. There is a relationship there, which is mutual love. And I think that shows when we love one another, that displays the love of Jesus.
Exactly right, brother. Exactly. That's so true. So, yeah, just as our audience, you know, thinks about going overseas, supporting those that we have sent out from the church, supporting the work that is happening in overseas contexts, we need to think and keep in mind the local believers that have been there even before we came, even before our friends went there, and many of those who continue on even after our friends and our sent out missionaries even return.
That's right.
And so, yeah, working alongside and with national partners is something that is wise.
Amen.
And we see that is a pattern throughout the scriptures. As we mentioned before, like Paul's many missionary companions.
Mm.
And in all of those, I think there's an argument to be made that all of those are connected to different local churches.
Yeah.
And many of those arising from those local churches.
Mm-hmm.
And being a part of apostolic ministry,
mm-hmm.
in as the gospel goes forward, even if you look at the example of Timothy, that he was well known,
yep.
and well spoken of by the churches at Derbe and Lystra.
That's right.
And these are churches that in prior years that Paul and Barnabas had been a part of planting.
That's right.
And so, you know, there is this reality that there is a greater kingdom-minded partnership from church to
that's
church,
right.
and working together.
Mm.
And that's something that we often miss in the individualistic West.
That's right.
So
that's right. I think it goes part and parcel too with us being Baptists. Like, we see local churches being autonomous, and if we want local churches to be truly autonomous, they have to have local leadership. And so, like, I think from the very beginning, us thinking through what is it we actually want to do? And I think this is true of North America just as much as it is of the mission field. What are we actually striving to do? We want Jesus Christ to be worshiped in his church, in this local expression of that church. And for that to happen in a healthy manner, it has to have local leadership. So I think that, I know it's not cool to say you're a Baptist these days, but I'm a Baptist. And I think that's what we need to be doing in the work of ministry.
Yes, amen. I'm a Baptist as well.
Yes.
A big B Baptist. Well, thank you for joining us today, Nathan.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you to our audience just joining us in this conversation. And let's keep this going just as we marvel at what the Lord is
amen.
Doing, even in our day.
Praise God.